Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. And Lord, we can say that over and over and over again and never wears out. You're faithful in so many things. And thank you for being with us. Amen. Well, the most of my message today is going to be a repeat for you guys because I'm going to review three different messages. And I just felt that I'd like to just give us a little nugget to think about in the future. Well, actually in the present, to where we go from here. So, hey, Lord, just take this time, and I ask that you would bring encouragement, give direction, and hope to each and every one of us here. And we just give you thanks for how you've been speaking to us over this past month. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Well, first of all, I'm going to go back one, two, three or four weeks here. And there's two messages that Wayne Zimmerman brought that had to do with the gospel of the kingdom. And the first one, he gave us a brief history of our nation since 9/11. Is that correct? Starting about 9/11. And how things progressed downwards and how they came, or he's seemingly be coming back. But he made some statements after that. He said, the kingdom of God has always existed. So it's something that didn't just start up at a particular time. It always exists because it's who God is. He is the king of his kingdom, and he always existed. And the kingdom of God, or the sphere of his kingdom, exists wherever he reigns in the hearts of men. And so we can definitely see that as we look around where the king is reigning. He reigns in some people and he does not reign in others, even though he does reign over everything. The next point, he said, the kingdom of God is perfect and his government is perfect. And to me, that really struck out because that means I really need to be paying attention not only to when he speaks, but what his word says, because his word is perfect. And it's meant to bring life and stability and hope to the world. And so sometimes it causes conflicts. But we need to look at that and say, well, where really is the conflict coming from? I'm just adding into this right now, so kind of preaching over top of it. The next point, he said the gospel of the kingdom is not the gospel of the church. It's the gospel of his kingdom. Yet it is the responsibility of the church to bring that gospel of the kingdom to the world. That's what he called us to do, to go into all nations and preach and make disciples. The next point he made in this, which is very, very important, is the Holy Spirit is necessary to bring the kingdom here on the earth as it is in heaven. We cannot do this without the Holy Spirit. And he gets into that aspect in the next message. And then the final point was, or at least the final point I'm going to bring to you is, we are the church. We are the building, and we are the house. Each individual members, we make up the house of God. And we've preached this how many times? It's not the building, right? It's not the building, but it's the people who is the house of God. So the next message, he said, what the kingdom was about, and he prefaced it with a scripture in Isaiah. He says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, my ways are higher than your ways. And he basically said, when we begin to look at what God is bringing here, which is why we have to see it as perfect, it's often the opposite to the way we think here, right? And he gave some examples about the rich young ruler. And he did all these things perfectly, right, according to the law. And the Lord, he says, well, Lord, what else do I need to come into the kingdom? He says, sell everything you got and come and follow me. And that young man walked away sad because he had a lot of things. And so that's the opposite, right? That's the opposite. Give everything up and come follow me, and I'll take care of you. And yet our mindset is, well, we need to take care of us before we can go follow God. But that's not what the scripture says. And then he also gave the parable of the landowner who hired all of these different servants during the time of day. The first ones came up, they made a deal. The second ones came up, they made a deal. What day goes on, the last guy comes, it's probably only an hour to work, he makes a deal with them. Excuse me. But little did they know, he made the same deal with all the guys, and they worked different hours. And he says, well, the last is going to be first. So the last person that came in, he came up and he paid him a full day's wage. And then as we go on, we're realizing, oh, he got a full day's wage. I worked here. He worked there an hour and gets a full day wage. I worked here all day and I'm only getting a full day's wage. And they started getting upset. They started having an attitude. And he said, well, didn't we make a deal, basically? He said, what's wrong if I'm generous, right? And anyway, I don't want to preach that. I'm just trying to go over those thoughts. And then he said, also Wayne pointed out, the kingdom of God is not based on law, but rather it's on mercy. And he used the example of slavery versus freedom. And we need to walk in his ways. That was another part of his message. Because we could be walking in his thoughts, knowing God's thoughts, but if we're not walking in those thoughts, then they have no meaning to us. Because the scripture says, and I'm just throwing this in, it says, faith without works is dead. You can believe in God and what he's done, but if you're not walking that out, if you're not applying that to your personal life, well, then your faith is meaningless. So that's why it's important that we walk it out. He said something on there. I can't fully quote the other thing that he mentioned. But then at the end, he shared a particular story that happened in Mexico, where we were down there cleaning up and doing stuff, and initially Wayne was thinking that he was going to share because they asked him to share, and he said, sure, I'll share, and blah, blah, blah. And in the end, the thing flip-flopped, and they asked me to share, and so I won't go into the story, but it was what God wanted for that particular moment. And so that's why we needed to walk by the Spirit. We need to be listening to what he is saying. And when that happened, God brought about his purposes, and it was really cool. Okay, now I'm going to move on. And all, just so you know, if you haven't heard these messages, they're all online. You can go there and listen to them. You can get more detail out of it. Now, last week, Don Rumble shared from 1 Corinthians, and I really believe that God was tying all these together. He spoke about the grace of God as he went through 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He spoke about the grace of God. And it wasn't necessarily just the grace for us to be saved, but the grace to do the things that God has called us to do. It takes a grace to minister to one another. It takes a grace to proclaim the gospel, right? Like, for instance, like I just said, we can know the gospel And we can go out and proclaim it, but if we're not living it, if it's not part of us, it's not going to produce any fruit. And let me give you a really interesting example. I used to work in the music business, and I traveled a lot, and I wasn't always a very good boy, but we had done a show, and after the show, generally you clean up, and sometimes the people go out, and they start drinking and partying, and so I went drinking and partying, and I got pretty inebriated, and yet I had professed faith in Christ. Right, so I wasn't following the scriptures, right? I wasn't doing what I knew to be right. And I remember coming out of the hotel, and these Jehovah's Witnesses were coming in. And I knew exactly by the way they looked and the things that they were holding, I knew they were Jehovah's Witnesses. So we're kind of in this foyer between, almost like the door here, the door coming in, the door coming out, we're kind of in this foyer. And they started, like, approaching me. And who knows what I looked like in that moment. But I started preaching the gospel to them, telling them they were wrong. And I can imagine what they're thinking. This guy does not know the gospel. And obviously the conversation didn't go too far because I really didn't even know what I was talking about, so to speak. And it was very embarrassing, but it was just one of those dumb moments in your life where you think you're doing the right thing and you're really screwing it all up, you know. So obviously the grace of God was not there for me in that moment. Anyway. But it's the grace of God that's for us, that comes through us, so it can be exhibited to others, right? This is one of the points I want. Just turn to 1 Corinthians. If you've got your phones, your tablets, your Bibles. 1 Corinthians. All right, before I go there, though, I'm going to read the other points that he made, but I'm going to go back to that because it's in the middle of his message, and that's really the heart of what I want to share today. So I'm not telling you where it is. He also spoke about there's two kinds of messages, and I don't know how this came into it, but he says there are those who come and make a proclamation. And for me, that was just like giving vision, okay? People come up and they speak to you and they give you vision. And then he says there are teachings that bring practical instruction, which is what I'm bringing today. I want to bring some practical instruction to the vision that Donnie was seeing, okay? And and he was using the scripture in Acts 2, where Peter preaches this whole message of the vision of Christ. He came to forgive men's of sin, and he was just a powerful message. And at the end, they said, well, what do we do? What do we need to do to be saved? And he says, repent, be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that was the practical application of what he was talking about. And then at the end of that, the whole second part of that chapter talks about both wisdom and foolishness. And it's interesting because it's both wisdom and foolishness, both on God's side and on man's side. Because a lot of people think that God's wisdom is foolishness, and yet his foolishness is real wisdom to those, and they don't get it because they're like opposites, you know? And so anyway, this was the thing that really stood out to me, and I want to focus on this this morning a little bit. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 10. It says, "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind, in the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, that by closed people there are quarrels among you." And he mentions the quarrels about, I'm of Peter, I'll just read it. "Now I mean this, each one of you saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Has Christ been divided?" So here was something that Paul was getting about, and had to do with the unity in the church. And what Don brought out in the message to me was very profound, in that he says we have to be, excuse me, in verse 10, about being made complete and of the same mind. And he said that word "being made complete" is the same word which means the mending of nets. And that same mending of nets word is used for, in Ephesians, where it talks about the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, teachers, and evangelists. They're there to equip or to mend the net for the sake of the kingdom. And so I'm thinking here, this is perfectly matches all that Wayne was sharing about the gospel of the kingdom. And now, to me, God is presenting to us, well, he's forming a net. And it means the repairing of a net. It's bringing things back together because they were broken. And I was thinking about that not only as the church as a whole, but I was thinking about that as us individually. And that was one of the things that our home group was talking about the past couple of weeks. It had to do with offenses and sins and things like that, and how do we handle those and how do we deal with those. And I realized that what the Lord was pointing out to me, if you look at a net, they're huge, right? But within that net, there are sections of the net where you'd have, I don't know if they're squares or rectangles. Or does anybody know about fishing nets, what their holes look like, how they're woven together? Yes, sir. You do? Yeah. All right. Okay. So I was thinking here, okay, God is, he's repairing a net. He's bringing things together so we can catch a lot of fish and not have holes in the net. But I'm only connected to certain pieces of that net. I'm not connected to the whole net, although eventually I'm connected to the whole net. But one little section, I said, you know what? I have a responsibility for the section of the net that I'm a part of. Because I want to look at it first as an individual, as a family, as a congregation. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, right. So I was just thinking about the little things that we need to do, and you can look at it in two ways. There's maintaining the integrity of the net, okay? And so there's a responsibility on us to maintain that. And what is it really speaking about? In here, in Corinthians, it's talking about relationships. Here was the church. They were quarreling with each other because one is, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter, I'm of Christ. He says, is Christ divided? You know, so there was an issue there where people were having issues with one another. But he was saying, here, you need to be made complete with the same mind. And to me, the same mind is not doctrinally. It's the same mind that we're worshiping and following Jesus Christ. And we're all in different stages of following Jesus Christ. We're all in levels, different levels of maturity in following Christ. But we have a responsibility in the people that we're connected with, whether it's my wife and I, or whether it's me and my children or grandchildren, the people here in this congregation. I have relationships with other people, my own brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews and all that sort of stuff. There's all these people that I'm somewhat connected to, but there are some that I'm very close to. And I have a responsibility to maintain the integrity of the net. And if the net breaks, well, then there's also ways of mending those nets. It's mending those relationships that have been broken, that are close to us, and we have a responsibility. And that's what we were talking about in the home group, was when those offenses happen or if someone has sinned, how do we do that? You know, how do we approach them, and do we wait a certain time? And it was just really, really a good, healthy dialogue about looking at these scriptures and saying, okay, if we see our brother to sin, do we go right to them right away? Do we wait? Do we pray? And, you know, the answers was almost like all of that, you know. But anyway, I'm drifting a little bit away from what I want to share. So I was just thinking about, we were talking mostly of offenses. And then we were talking about specific sins, but we didn't get deeper. But I just saying, what really divides us? What divides us? Well, first of all, sin will divide us, right? Well, let's put it this way, can divide us. If we see our brother in sin, we're supposed to go to them and restore them, right? So the net doesn't break. There's preferences, which I think is what Paul was speaking about here. Well, I prefer this guy's preaching. I prefer this guy's preaching. I like him. I like the way his style is. Whatever it is, there's preferences. And sometimes that will divide people. Unforgiveness is a very, very big thing that divides people. And the Lord gives us so many instructions about unforgiveness. Because we can have the offenses, but if we're not willing to forgive the offenses, then we've got a problem, and the net begins to disintegrate, and the integrity begins to fall apart, and it no longer is useful for the kingdom, you know? Jealousy and envy. I struggled with those two things for many, many years. And I had to continually repent of those things, of jealousy and envy of other people. And it just divided me in my heart. I never necessarily told anybody I was envious of them, but that was just my nature to fall into that. And it's terrible. It's really a terrible place to fall into that, because I am just basically saying, well, I can't be with you because I'm envious of you, I'm jealous of you, so I can't even be with you because you make me sick, or whatever you want to say, right? So with that, I just want to read two sections of Scripture, because I just don't want to just keep going on about this, because we could talk about this for a long time. But I think the Lord is just wanting to emphasize that he's calling us to be a representation of the gospel of the kingdom. And I believe he's calling us to be properly mended together in our relationships, so that when we go and are sent out, if we are preaching the gospel locally or whatever that is, that we're going to be effective. And that if anybody gets into the net, they're not going to be lost, because God has given us the grace, because we've humbled ourselves to deal with all those things that have been trying to pull that net apart. And that's the enemy's tactics over and over and over and over again. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I go through that almost every single day, and it's not because of anyone's fault, but like, for instance, my wife and I, we're just very different people. She thinks differently, and she wants to do things differently, and it's just like, oh, man, I can't believe she wants to do that. But I have to allow her to do that because that's who she is. But I can get really offended at that, and sometimes I've had, and then I've had to turn around, 20 minutes later because the Holy Spirit's saying, Paul, what are you doing? Just let your wife be your wife. You love her for who she is. And so I have to go back and say, honey, I'm sorry. Because I'll get emotional about it, right? That doesn't happen to anybody else, does it? No. Yeah, I know. Well, come someday. I'll tell you more about it, Crystal. So there it is. It's almost like constant. It's like the enemy's trying to get in and rip that net. Especially the husband and wife. They're, according to scriptures, they're one flesh. And the enemy just wants to tear that apart. But we have to say no. And we have to examine ourselves. And if we need to, we need to humble ourselves, because then we'll have the grace to come and repair the net. And sometimes it's just maintaining the net. It's not necessarily always a hole because something happens. But when that begins to increase and you're holding on to an offense and it gets longer and longer, then there's no unforgiveness and there's anger and there's bitterness. Before you know, the thing does rip and you got a real issue, right? Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. I wrote a little thing here just last night. It says, the scriptures that we're going to read is verses 12 to 17. I said, keeping your net in good repair. And if somebody reads that 10 years from now, I say, what the heck is he talking about, your net? So as those who have been chosen by God, that's us, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. That's our calling. We're called to love one another. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. No comments. It's very straightforward. Let's now turn to 1 Corinthians 13, and I know you all know this scripture. We're going to just read the whole chapter here. 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith to as remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give my possessions to feed the poor and surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Is not jealous. Love does not brag. It's not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now, faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Holy Spirit, would you permeate all of us with your love so that your net will be strong? It will be able to gather in the harvest. And Lord, when the harvest comes and the net's full, the net will not break. We won't lose any, Lord. Lord, just continue to strengthen us. Continue to help us. Continue to help us to humble ourselves in those moments where we know we're wrong and we need to humble ourselves and make it right. And Lord, that's what we do when we say, let your kingdom come and let your will be done here as it is in heaven. That is the very foundation, is your love. And I just thank you, Lord, for the love that abounds in this place and the love that we have for each other. And let us be mindful that we are a part of that net that you will gather in the harvest. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.